No. We're on Yud Amud Aleph. He's not coming today. But nonetheless, we are going to be learning this evening L'Zecher Nishmas Chaim Yehuda Ben Aharon Yisachar.
That's Henry K.
The yahrzeit for Henry K. is this evening and tomorrow. So, one will be L'Zecher Nishmas.
Where is it? Maybe Rabbi Aspen will alter the Tuesday schedule.
Possibly. But in the meantime, we're in Yud Amud Aleph. Okay? We're at the two dots, which is the second medium-sized line. Bo Rachmi Elayhu Bahadur B'tshuva. We left off with an incredible story between Rav Meir and his wife, Bruria. And she basically told him that you should not be davening for them to die, but rather you should be davening for them to do tshuva. And we discussed how is a person able to daven for someone else to do tshuva. Fine. So that's the Marsha discussed that, and we discussed a little bit in greater detail. Now, so therefore, we now see that Bruria is a very compassionate woman. A woman who cares and loves, apparently, the Rishayim, even the wicked. So perhaps with that, as a segue, we can now understand this next piece. Amrla Hahut Sedukila Bruria.
What line are you on?
We're on the second, wide, second medium-sized line. Right, we're by the two dots. Amrla Hahut Sedukila Bruria. Okay? It's right there. But not the third medium, not the widest line, it's the medium size. So a Sadduki, a Sadducee, went to Bruria, perhaps because he saw how compassionate she was, and he asked the following question, Yud Amud Aleph. Ksiv, it's written, the Pasuk says, the famous Haftorah, Rani Hakara Lo Yilava.
And Kisei Tsei and all the other ones, but the whole Rani Hakara Meso is Noah in the split in the summer.
It's also when in Kisei?
It's Kisei Tsei and...
That's why
I'm after. I told you, no, both of them plus Noah. So that's like three Haftorahs a year.
It's the same Haftorah?
Yeah.
It's when?
It's split in there. Noah is Rani Akara and Ani Asawara, and then they're split. One is Rani Akara, and then it was in the summer.
Okay.
In the,
that's a good one to know. That's a good one. That's a good one to know. The Pasuk literally means Rani Akara Yilada, rejoice, woman who is a Kara, who is barren and cannot have kids. Which is doesn't make any sense on a very simplistic level. And the Tzaduki, who is always, the Tzadukim only learn Torah Shenichsav.
They take it literally.
They take everything literally. So therefore, he wanted to really rub it in there. He said, well, Mishum Dula Yalada Rani, because she can't give birth. That's a reason for a woman to rejoice.
Just the opposite. Right.
Right, exactly. Very good. So, but that was the question that Tzaduki asked. So probably it wasn't such a great question. You know, it sounds like a good question. So Amalei, so she, Bruria said, Shakya, you're Shoti, you fool.
Idiot.
Right, pretty much. Shakya l'seif dekra, go down to the end of the pasuk, which is interesting. That's how Bruria, l'shitasa, would always learn. She would say, don't just learn the beginning, you have to learn, get the whole thing. The whole thing. That's what she said also to another person, to her husband, Rav Meir, about the Pasuk of Yitam Chotayim in Aret. She looked at the end of the Pasuk. So over here, what does the end of the Pasuk say? Nechsev, ki rabim b'nei shomeima mivnei b'ula, Omer Hashem. Because there are so many more people who are b'nei shomeima, children of those who are desolate, from those who are from married women, which means that there are so many people that are not having, who are having children, which are, they shouldn't be having children, they're not married, right.
What is something she could adapt?
So, therefore, the reason why, Elamaya Kara Uyulada, what is it that she's rejoicing over? The fact that she's not having kids doesn't mean she's not having any children. Is Rani Knesset Israel praiseworthy and should sing the Jewish women Shadaim al Isha Akara, who are comparable to a woman who is barren in the fact Shalyoda Bunim will Gehenim Kvosaihu, that they will not have children that are end up in Gehenim Kvosaihu, just like you. That's what she said in a very harsh manner. And so therefore, the simple reading of Rani Akara Lo Yilada means not that a woman is happy that she can't have children, but she's barren from having improper children. That's what it means. But certainly, she's wouldn't be rejoicing that she's not having kids at all. But she's not having
she'd
children.
She'd rather be happy if not having kids, that kids will go to Gehenna.
Right. Well, that's right.
She's happy that her kids are not the bad kids.
Right. Right. Yeah, but the way that she answered him was in such an incredibly harsh way. First of all, she calls him a shoda, an idiot, whatever, fool. And then she says that the children will not go to Gehenna kavasaihu, just like you. And the Mefarshim explained, because based on the first story we saw, you would think that all the tzaddukim would start looking at Rameir, like, I'm not going to mess with him, he's going to curse me. But Beruya, his wife, hey, she doesn't care. She loves us. She loves all of us. And therefore she was saying, no, the fact that I was compassionate to you, it was not because I love the fact that you're in Russia, but the idea is that we hope that you'll change, you'll improve. Exactly. But the fact that you're asking
questions,
you're trying to show that the Torah is wrong and it's not real, so therefore at that moment I will now come down on you.
Show you no compassion.
Exactly. So that's how some people connect those two stories one to the other. Alright. Continue with the next piece of Gemara. Since we're talking about the Sadducees, we continue with the next piece. Amar Le'ahu Tzaduki Rababo. Tzaduki asked the following, made this following statement. Siv, the Pasuk says, looking on this side by the Torah, or it's in Tehillim, yes. Gimel, uh-huh. third capital. Mizmor L'David B'Rachom Enei Ha'Shalom B'Nai. So David Melech, among other issues that he had, he was running away from his son, right? And we already discussed why would he be saying Mizmor LaDavid, not Kinel LaDavid? So we saw previously the significance of this is because at least it was his son. He knew that someone was going to attack him, someone was going to be violent toward him, but he didn't know who it was going to be. Could have been an Eved, could have been a Mamzer, who shows no compassion. He said, oh, it's Avshalom, my son, so it's not so bad. That's the reason we saw before why he's Mizmor. But nonetheless, over here he asked a question. Pasuk says, Mizmor David's talking about him running away from his child, from Avshalom. B'ksiv, that it's written later, I only know it's later because in the Torah, or it says Shom, Al, you see that? Nun Zion? You see that on the side? See the Torah, or you'll see, you see where it says Avshalom Beno, right? Well, Torah Or is a commentator.
I'm looking on the sides. I don't see it.
Well, it doesn't say Torah Or is almost blends into Rashi, which would be if you would want it to say it's the fifth line or the first thin line. It's always the first thin line, it says Torah Or.
Yes.
Torah Or is not Torah part of Rashi.
I see it now, and it says Torah.
That's a perush. That's a perush which tells you the name of the sefer. As well as, good evening, also the first...
One says Gimel, the other says Nun Zayin?
Exactly. Shom Nun Zayin. Shom means
I read
a bit.
I read those all the time.
A bit.
I read two in Nun Zayin all the time.
Oh, okay. So, fine. But that's the purpose of Torah Or. That parish tells you the name of the Sefer as well as the parish, never the Pasuk, but at least the parish, where this Pasuk is found. So it says it's in Capital Nun Zayin, or Yidam Ra'al. V'ksiv, and it's written, V'David Michtam B'Vrochim B'nei Shol B'Maru. Which is about, 12, 15 lines from the top or so. That David HaMelech, he read this a lot, so what is he doing? He's running away from Shol B'Maru in the cave. This is before. Right.
His mice. Before he had a son, he was still,
exactly, he was still running around. Yeah, Shaul was still the Melech, the king.
So this is before he had Avshalom.
Right. So asks the Tzaduki, "Hai Maisa Havi Bereish, which story happened first? Nichti, Masa Shaul Havi Bereish. Of course, the story of Shaul that happened first. The story of Shaul, who after having degrees of melancholy, he started getting. Even though he initially loved David HaMelech, because what ended up happening, as it says in Shmuel Aleph, is that he developed this melancholy because he used to have the Ruach Elokim. But once he made certain mistakes, Hashem took this away, gave him what's called a Ruach Ra, and David was going to be the new king. So therefore he needed, as it says in Shmuel Aleph, he needed someone to calm him down. So his advisor said, why don't you get someone to play some musical instrument for you, specifically, of course, it's the kinnor, the harp. And that's why David came in to begin with, and he loved him so much, he made him his armor bearer, he carries weapons. So he initially loved him very much. But then, of course, as the melancholy got the worst of him, it caused him to strike out against David to a hateful point that he wanted to kill him. So the pasuk over here talks about this incident, which happened, in historically speaking, much before, chronologically, than, right, the story about Shalom, which was much later. So the tzaduk says, "Hi, ma'ase habibureisha, michti, ma'ase shol habibureisha." So liberation should be written first. Basically, the tzaduki, sometimes it's really a valid question, because Alan pointed out correctly that this pasuk is in Kapitel Nun Zayin, which is after Kapitel Gimel, the third paragraph of Tehillim. That's true. Torah is not written in chronological order. And I guess you can say the same thing about Tehillim.
Exactly. Well, they just may have numbered it after, but I didn't know what order that David wrote it in.
Apparently the way it is the way it is. I don't know. I mean, just assuming that's the way we have it is the correct way. I mean, we saw already on Omid Beis, the previous Omid, that it said specifically, you know, they waited until 103 paragraphs to say, you know, to say Halukah. So, I mean, there is certainly an order to it. But he asked the question, why isn't it written in this particular order? So, how do we answer the tzaduk? He says, listen. Darshiton Samuchin Kashalfu. To you that you did not learn out of smuchin. Sabuch, things which are close or juxtaposed to one another, you don't consider there any significance to that, then you have a great question. But Anan, but us, the Jewish people, the Darshin and Samuchin Lo Kashalun, we don't have a question. Because sometimes, even though it's true, Ain Mukta Mukhabatar, there has to be a reason for it. Why is it done that way? There has to be some reason why it's written out of order. So the answer that we have and you cannot have because you take things so literally, being a tzaduki, we understand that the reason why things are written out of order is to put things in context. If you study the entire parsha, or in this case, the entire paragraph in Psalms and Tehillim, then you'll understand the reason why it was put in Kapitel Gimel. So the Gemara says like this. The Omer of Yochanan Smuchin min Atayr Minayin. First of all, how do we know that we can darshan Smuchin? Darshan, you can learn out smuchin, things which are written next to each other, things which are juxtaposed, that there's a significance, there's something to derive from that. Ninth, Shema, because the pasuk says, smuchim l'ad l'olam asuyim be'emes v'yasha, right, which is also apparently in Kapitel Kuf Yudal, in Tehillim, it says over here. The smuchim is something which is forever, and it's true, and it's straight. So that we darshan smuchim. So lama nismacha parshas avshalma parshas gogamago. So the question is, what is it doing in paragraph number 3 in the book of Tehillim? Why do we mention anything about the tragedy of David HaMelech running away from his son in the same parsha which talks about gogamago, the futuristic mochama against that the Klai Sol have against these nations? So what's the reason why it's in that same paragraph? Shim Yamilcha Adam, because if a person would ever see to you, Kulam Yesh Eved Shemayu Barabba, can it ever possible that we'll ever find that an Eved, a servant, is going to be Mayrid Barabba, is going to rebel against his master? Will we ever find such an instance? Abata Imrlo, you could say to him, Kulam Yesh Ben Shemayu Barabba, do we ever find a time where a child rebels against his own father? Elohavi Hocha Nami Havi, this happened, so this also happened. So the reason why they're mentioned together is that unfortunately, just as and there'll be a futuristic time when the Eved, which is Gog and Magog, is going to rebel, and actually, if you look in the Rashi over here, which is the third block at the top, Rashi says, Kum Yesh Eved Shemor Barabo means V'yavo L'hachish as Dibra Navi, that people are going to come and contradict the words of the Navi that we're going to do against that which we're supposed to do. Which corresponds to the war in Muhammad Gog and Magog, the people rebelled against what the Navi said, specifically this nation, that they were rebellious. So how could that ever happen? We know that it does happen, and we also know that children also rebel against by their parents. So therefore, what is the point of this? The point is that it's come to show both aspects in the same paragraph to tell you that both happened, and therefore, even though it was written out of order, there's a reason why it's written out of order. The basic message is that we're telling that Saduki, they think you're wrong. You're wrong because it has to be written in a specific order. But if you learn in a more broad sense of Torah Sheval Peh, then there's a reason why things are not written that way. So that's how we answer this Saduki. So again, the Saduki said it's written out of order, so the whole Torah is a mistake. It's wrong. It makes no sense. The Hillel, David Melech doesn't even know his history lesson. He doesn't even know how to write things in the proper order. Their answer is, you're wrong. Because not only does David understand a lot more than you do, but the fact that it's written in this way is to teach us a vital lesson, to teach us the similarities of rebellion of an Eved and that of a rebellion of a child. So that's how the Gemara learns it out. Okay. Let's continue.
I'm missing something in the background here.
Yeah.
Why is Gog Magog and Eved this Moridor?
Gog Magog. Well, it's interesting because that's the way that you would interpret it. Gog Magog just sounds like they're rebellious in nature, right? But Rashi says V'yavul hachesh es divrei hanavi, that a servant is coming to rebel or to contradict the words of the prophet. I'm not sure exactly the connection between that and Gog Magog, because
ignoring the prophecies of Gog Magog, but that it comes to pass, letting it happen.
I without looking at this Rashi, I looked at it as Gog Magog, where the rebellious ones go rebelling against the master, like Hashem, right? But I'm not really exactly sure what this Rashi means. That's something which you have to think about.
Look up the Indian. Where's that? Where's that? Which number is that?
Yeah.
Look it up in the parakeet, and you'll see exactly how it's.
It needs work, though.
I don't remember that it says something about.
No, because it says you're missing the point. It says in chapter 2, second Tehillim, Lama Rokshu Goyim, Ulumim Iyo Rik, Yisyatzu Malchei Eretz, Verozim Nozdu Yachad, Al Hashem, Al Mashicho. This is going to come in the future.
Right.
And that's why he's bringing it. This is in the early Psalms, it says in Psalms that it's going to, that they're going to rebel against Hashem and against his Mashiach.
Who's going to rebel? Nations?
The nations, and in our scroll interprets the nations as Gog Magog.
In other words, they're saying the Mashiach will already be known and be here.
Right, and they're going to come and
they're going to
fight
war because they think that
because they want to refute that the Mashiach and everything that he's going to do, and Israel is going to be what Israel's all about.
Good. Okay. Let's move on. Om Rav Yochanan the Mishnah Rav Shimon ben Yoichai. Rav Yochanan says the name of Rav Shimon. My dechsiv. What is the famous pasuk that some say on Friday night? Pia pascha b'chokhmah sar scheselo shayna. Kenegin mi yomer Shlomo mikrozeh. When Shlomo HaMelech in his infinite wisdom said this pasuk, Pia pascha b'chokhmah, that my mouth is open with knowledge in the Torah, kindness is on my tongue. Who is he talking about? Who's he referring to? So Lo Omer Elo Kenegin David Avi. He was referring back to his father. Shadar b'chmi shalomim, that David HaMelech lived in five worlds. The Omer Shira, and he sang by each of those five worlds. What are these five worlds that he lived by? So the Gemara continues and says, Dar b'me'imo g'omer shira. David HaMelech lived in the womb of his mother, and he said Shira Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Varchi Nafshis Hashem, V'chol Karavai Hashim Kadshai. Varchi Nafshis Hashem, and all of Karavai, all of that which is inside, all my innards, will say out Hashem's glorious and holy name. So, what does it mean, V'chol Karavai? So, Rashi says, the second thin line, V'chol Karavai Hashim Kravai kirei imo shador b'tochan. Talking about the insides of his mother that he dwelled in there. Exactly. So that's one of the times in which he said Shira. So all these, of course, are going to be from Tehillim, as we see on the side, or now it goes on to the side. That was the first time. That was the first place he lived. Yotzal avir oylam v'nistaka v'kachavim muzolois. Dharmashira. When David HaMelech went out of the world, he came out, he was born, he stared at the stars and the constellations, and he said Shira. And this doesn't mean necessarily that he said Shira at that time. Some explain that when he, at later age, reflected on those times of his life, that's when he said Shira. Now, reflecting on those aspects of his life. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Baruch Hu Hashem, Malachav, blessed is Hashem, his messengers, Giburi Koyach, with tremendous power, or you see, Devar of Lishmo, Bekol, Adibar, Baruch Hu Hashem, Kol Tzavah. And the Pasuk concludes, as Baruch Hu Hashem, Kol Tzavah, all of his hosts and luminaries, which is referring to the stars. So he said, again, we find this Baruch Hu Hashem, that he blesses Hashem, or Baruch Hu Hashem, at this time as well. He was involved in nursing from his mother, and he stared at this place, and he said Shira as well. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Baruch Inashis Hashem, which is, so far this is the third place, it's still in the same capital, Kuf Gimel, V'al Tishkochi Kol Gemulah, will not forget all of your kindness.
Oh, Kuf Gimel.
Kuf Gimel, yeah. All, so far, all of these three are found in the same paragraph in Tehillim. Did not forget all of your kindness. Called kindness. So the Gemara asks, what exactly is the kindness, and also how does this relate to a child nursing? My Gemula, so Umar, what is this kindness that Hashem did to a nursing infant? Umar Abavo Shasa La Dadiba Makambina. That Hashem placed the dadim of a woman at in a very wise place. Okay? Time of my. And what is the reason why this is such a makam bina? So, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Kadeshul Yistakum a makam Erebe. That a child should not have to stare at be near the makam Erebe of a woman. Which, by other animals, they would have to be mistakum a makam Erebe. But Hashem created human beings with bina and with kol gemulav, and caused that the child should not have to stare at certain areas which even an infant shouldn't be staring at. Ramasna ayimer kedeshul yonik memakum hatunafos. In order that the child should not have to nurse at a place which is unclean. Okay. So those are the two basic reasons. But nonetheless, the Gemara learns that that's a third time in his life where he reflected upon this issue. Rav and Falton Shor Shayim, as we saw before, he saw the downfall of the wicked. Biyom Rashir Shem Yitamachatayim in the arts. Rashayim Od Einam. And the way that... Right, that's already the next paragraph. That which makes sense, that's already in the order of his life. That he saw the sinners, the sins should be removed from the world. And as Bruria properly translates this pasuk, Rameir's wife, Rishayim Odeinam, by the sins being removed from this world, the wicked people will not exist, because they'll all be righteous, they'll all be tzaddikim. Baruch Hashem Hashem Haluka. Nistakul biyom amisa biyom ashira. Finally, he stared at the day of death, and at that day, he said shir. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. This is great. Elokei gedulas ma'oid, kedaltam oid, hod v'hodar, v'vashta, with great majesty, you clothed me. So the Gemara asks, my mashma di'al yom mamisa nemar. How do you know that this pasuk is talking about the day of him reflecting the day of death? So I'm a rabba, barashilam seifed inyana. If you look at the end of the pasuk, the chsiv, it says, tasne manecha, remove, return your face, yiv halun tosef, that... those that will be, they who are troubled will be taken away. Their rucham yigavum, their spirit, and they will die. So therefore, these are the five times in which he reflected upon his life, and during all those times, David said Shira. The question that some of the Mefarshim ask is that I can understand the person is happy the day he was born. You're saying Shira, which signifies that you're so happy that you are alive.
Yeah, but if you look in Koheles, Shlomo Melech says, Tov Yom Hamoso Yom Divoto. I don't know the exact pasuk.
Yeah, yeah. That is the day of
Misa, than the day you're born. And
right.
And he explains it why, so maybe he got it from David.
Could be.
His father's teachings.
Right.
The idea
is that
if someone's a tzaddik, right? But as long as he's alive, there's always a chance he will sin.
Right.
But once he's left there.
Right, but also if he's got
the old
Hava,
the record, he's not going to sin anymore. He's got a perfect record.
That's a good answer. I like that.
Right.
Right. The Ben Yoyada gives another approach. I'm just going to read a couple of the lines from the Ben Yoyada. He asks the question. He says, "V'yomer shira zomachshim al misa." When it comes to death, kinim eboili. You shouldn't say mizmor l'david. I'm so happy. It should be kinim l'david. And furthermore, why does it say this? It should say nistak b'misa. What do you mean v'yom hamisa, the day of his death? So the Ben Yoyada is lengthy, but I only saw a couple little lines over here, which is nice. He says that yistak b'yom hamisa, v'lo om yistak b'misa. Why did he say on the day of his death? What do you mean you stare at the day of his death? So he brings down a Gemara in Shabbos that David HaMelech, Chol HaShalom, turned to Hashem and said, let me know, hodieni no kitzi, let me know my end, my case. When am I going to die? So Hashem said, no way, I'm not telling even you. Gezerim l'fanai she'en moedin kitzi shul adam. I don't tell people when they're going to die. I'm not going to tell you.
Don't we know that in David's case, somebody gave up 70 years of their life, I think it was Yosef or something?
No, it was Adam.
Adam
gave up 70 years of his life.
He was supposed to live 1,000, he lived 930.
For David, so...
Right.
So if we know that, obviously David knew that.
Well, maybe we know.
How do we know
it? Right? Maybe didn't know the exact day.
That's a bigger question.
Why?
No, it was exactly. Maybe didn't know it was exactly 70. It was exactly 70.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe so if we know about that, then obviously David knew about it. He's a little smarter than us.
Well, he asks, and he says,
many yeshiva
I don't know. The Gemara says that he asks, and it's just, I'm not telling you, which apparently he did not know when he was going to die. Armalei said, Hodeini be'ezi yom, ma'ashvu. At least do me a favor, tell me the day of the week I'm going to die. You know? At least that one day I can. Okay. So Armalei, so Hashem said, I'll tell you. Sheifter b'yom ha'shabbos. David Melech, I'm telling you.
Right, so we
you're
know something with the Malach HaMavis, they heard a special noise outside.
Right, that's the whole story.
It's happening to us learning, so now we
can't do that. So some reminds me that this is what it means. He was stakul biyom hamisa, which means he was staring at the day, which means he was staring at Shabbos. That was the yom, the day of the week, which he knew he was going to die. But then the Ben Yoyada says a very interesting quote from the Arizal. He says, it's interesting that during Mincha on Shabbos, we say after Chazar Zashatz this little paragraph. Sidkoscha said a gimel pamim shel sidkoscha. We say three sentences. It's three sentences, and it's very... We mentioned tzedek, righteousness. Why do we say this on Shabbos? Mincha, why do we say it on Shabbos? And why do we say three? So says the Arizal, Sh'omer b'mincha Shabbos, Aleph, one of the psukim is connected Yosef, Olav HaShalom, Yosef HaTzadik, who died on Shabbos. The Echad connected Moshe Rabbeinu, who died on Shabbos. The Echad connected David HaMelech. Sheshlashtam Nifter B'Shabbos. These three great leaders, Yosef, Moshe, and David, all died on Shabbos. Yesh Tikkun Gadol Hanaseh in Mincha Shabbos is a great way to, a great Tikkun Gadol, a tremendous way you can improve yourself spiritually on Shabbos.
Well,
still
also
say
it's an Ace Ratzon, but he's supposed to be Ace Ratzon.
Well, that's right. That's
Ace Ratzon at the time of Ratzon over there.
And not
right.
Only is the Shabbos, but also Shuas.
Right. So he says, "She'ena nachni yichol ma'asosu el alidei sirup gimel neshamos ha'sadikim ahem." So because of these great, these three great tzaddikim who are attached to Shabbos, so by reciting sidkascha specifically at those times, we're able to zone in on their greatness and be able to tap into that for ourselves. So that's how he's masmir. The significance of the paragraph of sidkascha ties into David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yosef HaTzadik, who all died on Shabbos. Okay, continuing with the Gemara. The Gemara, so therefore that's how the Ben Yoyada is masvir, the idea of Yom HaShav, Nistach will be Yom HaMisa, Yom HaShiva. The Gemara continues, Rav Shimi Bar Ukva. The Amalam Bar Ukva, Havi Shkia Kamid Rav Shimon Pazi, they were commonly found by this great sage, Rav Shimon Pazi, Bab Masadir Agarata Kamid Rav Shimon Levi. They would always set up their regatta for their learning in front of Yeshua. They would talk about learning in front of him. Ormalay, they asked the following question. My next Sid, what does the following pasuk mean? Now, we just saw this pasuk. This is the first of the five times in which David in his life said Shira. That all my everything which is inside will acknowledge your holy name. So what exactly is this referring to? So they said back to him, Barre, come and see. Shalom Kaminas the Kodesh Baruch Luminas Basmadam. It's coming to show by based on this pasuk, if we are able to look at the greatness of a human being, we realize that we're really not so great. That we are so insignificant to the greatness of Kodesh Baruch. The Midas Basmadam, when it comes to a person, starts Surah Al Gabia Kosa. You can even go to the Louvre and be able to see the most beautiful of paintings. But all it is a picture on top, on a wall, hanging on a wall. Right? That's all it is. So it's Surah Al Gabi HaKaisel. Ve'enu yachol ha'atel ba'ruach neshamim kervayim v'nei ma'i. This, the greatest artist in the world, Leonardo da Vinci, was not able to put into the Mona Lisa, not into her, then a ruach, a neshama, kirbayim, insides, v'nei ma'im, intestines, or stomach. There's nothing inside. It's just a picture. Kadosh Baruch Hu Eino King. Kadosh Baruch Hashem's not like that. So it's Surah Tech Surah. Hashem doesn't just make pictures or designs. He can make a picture inside of a picture inside of a picture. And Hashem is able to put inside of it all these different aspects, all these different parts of the human body. Ruach, the spirit, the soul, the stomach, the intestines. And therefore, this is what David HaMelech was really saying Shira about. He was marveling over the fact Hashem is incredible. The whole Kravi Hashem Kacha, because you can look inside at the creations. It's not just a picture, but even the insides of his creations is a whole world. Behind the Amorcha, and this is what it means, what it says in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, the second chapter, that Chana, after she was able to have a child, she finally has a kid by the name of Shmuel. That's why the book is called Shmuel. Kind of gives it away.
Should have called it
Tom. Yeah, that would have been nicer, but she's not. The whole story is not about her. Anyway, what does she say in being able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being able to have a child? She says, "In Kadosh Hashem, Kein Biltecha." There's no one as holy as Hashem, like Hashem, Kein Biltecha. There's no one like you. No one except but you. The Insur Kelukinu, and there's no rock like God. My Insur Kelukinu, what does that mean? There's no rock like God. God's a rock. She's solid, complete, perfect. What does it mean, Insur Kelukinu? So the Gemara Darshan, instead of reading the word Sur, read Insur Kelukinu. There's no creator like Hashem. There's no creator like Hashem as we saw. We just saw.
Artist.
What?
It means like artist.
No artists, yeah. Right, exactly. What does it mean, Ki'in Biltecha? There's no one like you. So, Rabbi Behudah Bar Masna, Al-Tikri, do not read Ki'in Biltecha. There's no one like you. El-Ein, Livosecha. There's no one that can be worn out by you. What does that mean? Shalom, Kaminas, Kodesh Baruch, Minas, Masavadam. Again, we cannot compare Hashem to ourselves, because Minas, Masavadam, when it comes to a person, mortal man. Masi Yadav, Mablin, Osav. A person's actions outlast the person. So a guy can build a tower, build a house, and they'll pass away, and 100, 200 years later, the house is still standing. Kodesh Baruch Hu Mavu Masa. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is the opposite. He is able to outlast the things that he creates. He creates people, and creates the whole world. Everything's finite compared to God. So therefore, that's what it means. There's nothing which can outlast you. So that's what the pasuk means. You asked me a good question. That's what the pasuk means. So they said, you were going on a nice little tangent, but that's not really the question I was asking you. I wasn't asking you that. Armalei, anah hachi kamino. This is what I meant to say to you. Ha'ani chamish barchinashi kenegim yomer David. When David said these five barchinashis, which correspond to five different worlds that he lived in, what exactly was he focused on? Why specifically these five worlds. So, Amran Elo Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu VeKeneged Neshama. The significance of this is that he was saying there's five ways that even though a human being is so much different than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's actually five things which we are very similar to Hashem in that our neshama, the neshama that we all have, the neshamas we have, is common to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what are the five similarities of our neshama to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moli Kol Oilam, we know that Hashem fills the entire world. Af neshama moyes kol gof. Person's body, there's not a part of the world which Hashem is not found. Hashem is moyes kol aretz kvoido. So too are the body of the human body, the neshama is found every single part of it. I'm not exactly sure what that means. That's what the Gemara says. Ma kodesh baruch hu roye ve'nire. Just like Hashem can see, but cannot be seen. So too the neshama has the capacity to be able to see things, but of course being its spiritual nature cannot be seen. Makadosh Baruch Hu Zanes Kol Olam Kulo, just like Hashem satiates the entire world, provides for us. Af Neshama Zanes Kol Gof, so too the neshama also is able to satiate spiritually, perhaps the body. Makadosh Baruch Hu Tahar Af Neshama Tahar. Just like Hashem is pure, our neshama is pure, which is actually the pasuk which we recite this in the morning. We say Elokainis el neshama shasati vi taharihi, that our neshama is tahar, which means you could be the worst rush in the world, but the truth is your neshama is pure. It's unfortunate, just like a diamond which is dropped in a puddle of mud. Just takes maybe more effort to wipe off the mud, but inside is a shining diamond if you're able to get to it. Av neshama tahir, Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev b'Chadar Chadarim. Just like Hashem sits literally in the innermost chambers, there's not a single place in the world where Hashem cannot be found. Hashem could see you in even the Chadar Chadarim. Av neshama Yoshev b'Chadar Chadarim. So too our neshama can dwell within innermost parts of ourselves as well. So it continues. Why then, if Hashem and our neshama are so alike, why does he say these five things? Yavo mi, and why does he say Barchi Nafshi five times? Yavo mi Shieshvo Chamish Demar. Let a person who has these five things, Halolu, V'yishavach Lami Shieshvo Chamish Demar Halolu, go and praise Hashem who has these five things. So therefore it's a way of a person who can think, I'm too far, I'm a Russia, I'm not going to change, I'm not a good person. A person dwells on the fact that we have an neshama, and we are very much in tune and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have this vehicle to be able to, in fact, connect ourselves to Hashem. Okay. That's the end of that piece. Questions? Okay, we're going to see this next few lines. Amar Rav Hamnuna. Hamnuna says, Ma'nechsiv, what does the following pasuk mean? Mi ka chochom, who is as wise as Hashem? Mi yodei a pesha davar, who knows how to be able to compromise, to make some type of a pshara, a compromise to the matter? What does that pasuk mean in Koheles? So it means like this, Mi ka kodesh baruch, who's like Hashem? He was able to somehow bridge the gap between two tzaddikim, that even though each of the two, as we're going to see, did not want to come to each other, one was a Navi, one was a Melech, and that each one thought it would not be befitting for the king to go to the prophet, it wouldn't be befitting for the prophet to go to the king. So Hashem devises some plan for them to get together because they need to have a conversation, which the Gemara is going to talk about. So, who are these tzaddikim? Ben Chizkiyahu Lishiyahu. Chizkiyahu was a king. Yishiyahu was the Navi. Okay. So Chizkiyahu the king said, well, I'm not going to the Navi. Lesi Yishiyahu Gabei. The prophet should come to the king. After all, the Hachi Ashkan be Eliyahu, Yazo Gabi Achav. Now we find that Eliyahu, who was prophet, Eliyahu's last name was Hanavi, so he went to Achav, to the king. Right? Shnemar miyelach Eliyahu liros elachav. So it's not befitting for a king to go to the Navi. Yeshiyahu, so when Yeshiyahu go to the king? Because Yeshiyahu thought, Leisi Chizkiyahu Gabay, let him come to me. Dehaki Ashkan B'Yoram ben Achav, we find the story of Yoram ben Achav, who was Achav's son, which means he ended up taking over the throne, he ended up becoming the next king, Yozel Gabi Elisha. He went to Elisha the Navi. Right? So, I'm not going to the king because the king is supposed to come to me. So each one was stuck in their ways and they weren't able to come to each other because they thought it was improper. So Masa Kodesh Baruch Hu, so what does Hashem do? Hevi Yisurim al Chizkiyahu. Hashem caused that Chizkiyahu should have Yisurim, terrible pains and he was a chaylu, sick, this king. The Yomelo Yishiyahu, so it was said to Yishiyahu, Lech Vachos HaChaylu. Now you have a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim. You have no choice. You have to go. So this is what Hashem did. Hashem devised this plan. So now Yeshiyahu, in fact, did go to the king, but not because it was a lack of respect, because you have a mitzvah. Mitzvahs, what choices? You have to do the mitzvah. Shnemar, B'yomim Mahim Chalach Chizkiyahu Lomos. Chizkiyahu was so sick, he was going to die. B'yavu love Yeshiyahu ben Omos. Yeshiyahu came, a Navi. B'yomar he loved. And he said, Komar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Sabu Vescha, give commandments to your household, which means give your last wishes to your home. Tell them a few, your last words. And listen to the next words. Ki meis ata husichya. Because you're going to die and you're not going to live. That's what Yeshiyahu said to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, the king, you are not going to live. You're going to die and you're not going to live. Sounds redundant. Obviously, if you're going to die, you're probably not going to live. What does that mean? So this is what he meant. Mesata, you're going to die. You're going to die in this world. You're also not going to have a world to come either. Chizkiyahu, the Gemara itself says it's a tzaddik. You will not have an olam hazeh. You're going to die. And you're not going to have an olam haba either. So Amalei. So Chizkiyahu said, one second. I know I'm dying. I'm not feeling well, but I'm not that bad of a guy. My coolie high. Well, what's going on over here? Why are you giving me this terrible punishment? No olam hazeh, no haba. So Amalei said, Mishum dolasata bepirvirivya. Because you withheld from having children. You were supposed to have children. You didn't. So therefore, because of that, you're going to lose your olam haba. So Amalei, so Chizkiyahu said, whoa, slow down. Slow down. I'll tell you why I didn't have kids. I'm not just some average guy. I'm Chizkiyahu Melech. I'm a Melech. And I saw Ruach HaKodesh. That what would happen? That if I did have a child, the Nafki Mine Benin, it would come out from me children, that wouldn't be good. I'd have bad kids. I'd have a Rishoyim. So, Amalei. So he said, that's the reason why I didn't have kids? So Amalei. The Gemara said, so what did Yeshiyahu say back to Chizkiyahu? Bahadi kash de rachman alamla. The secrets of Hashem, what are they to you? My demaphasi boy lechamevin. That which you're commanded to do, you're obligated to do. My denicha kamekut shabriyachu levin. Whatever Hashem wants to do, that's what will happen. So, the fact that you see in Ruach HaKodesh some disaster, you still have an obligation to do the mitzvahs. As I once explained, that was the Nisayon of Avraham Avinu. The Nisayon of Avraham Avinu is he's going to kill his kid. So what? So kill his kid? What's the big deal? Because the problem was that in his mind, he could have thought during the Akedah, how can I kill my son? If I kill my son, there's no more Klal Yisrael. So therefore, he'll have to rationalize, there's no way I can possibly do this. So the answer is, Hashem tells you to do something,
you
do
it.
Don't ask questions. And in contrast, in the same portion, we find the story, after the city of Sodom was destroyed, the daughters of Lot intoxicated their father, got him drunk, and they ended up having their kids. Moab, Ammon, so the Rashi says, why would they do such a thing? Preposterous, how could they do this? She said, because they thought it was another Dora Mabel. They saw the whole world was being destroyed. They didn't know it was just five cities. So they said, what choice do we have? We have to repopulate the world. So the problem was that if a halacha says it's usher to do such a thing, you cannot have the cheshbonos and think, oh, I better do it. Your person is obligated to follow halacha, and whatever happens, happens. You're not allowed to deviate from what halakha tells you to do, just because you think it may in the future somehow have better consequences. And some people on the side, say in large audiences, some explain is that that's the issue of the conservative movement. That the conservative movement, when they started a lot of being matir, if you use that word, driving on Shabbos to get to shuls. Because they figured, if you don't allow them to come to shul by driving, they're not going to come, they won't come at all. But what you're doing is you're saying, well, okay, because you're breaking the halacha because of right. You can't. The problem that they made was you cannot break halacha, even though there might have a point, because otherwise they're going to go to the beach. So how could you tell them? Just it's 100% allowed to drive. The problem is that by doing so, you cannot deviate from halacha. And that's exactly what Chizkiyahu did by not having children. Even though he saw Baruch HaKadosh, he would have bad children, the reality is he had no right to go against that which he's been... Exactly. We're going to conclude with these last few lines, which we'll get to the two dots. The Gemara then says, well, you're a sitting duck. You're not doing too well. So I'm relating in 1 second. So Hashta, now, Havli Berkha, why don't you give me Yeshiyahu? You're a great man. You're a Navi. Why don't you give me your daughter? Asher the garment zechusa di David idach. Maybe between your merits and my merits, penafki minay binin the malu. Maybe you'll end up having children who are good, who aren't tzaddikim. So Amalei, so Chizkiyahu. That's what Chizkiyahu said. Yeshiyahu, perhaps with a little grin on his face, said, "No way, buddy. You're not having my daughter. After all, kvar nigzer lacha gezera. There's a gezera on you. You're dead. You're a walking dead guy. Right? Dead man walking. Who cares? I'm not giving you my daughter. You already, Hashem told me, I'm a Navi. You're going to die." So Amalei, he was so angry at what Yeshiyahu said to him, he didn't even call him by his name. Similar to what we learned in Sanhedrin about, he called him Ben Amram. Right? He didn't call him Moshe. Ben Almutz. Call Nebuchadnezzar and say, finish up your prophecy and get out of here. I don't want to hear any more of your business. After all, Kachma Kavlanim based Abi, who's heard, accepted from my grandfather, that feel Cherv Chadim Nechas Al Tzvar, even if you have a sharp blade placed against your neck, Shaladim, Al Yim the Atzman Arachim, you can never withhold from asking Hashem for mercy and compassion. Because after all, why else would Hashem have asked you to come to me to tell me this nevuah, to tell me this prophecy? It must be because Hashem knew that there's an opportunity for me to change and do tshuva. You should. I'll give that some rachman. We conclude with the last line of the Gemara. Itmar Nami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer. It says on the side of Lezer, the Amir Tavad. They both said, "Afil cherem chadu manachas al tzavar shel adam." Even if you have a blade which is placed against the neck of a person, al yinatzim and rachman, you should never withhold yourself from asking Hashem for mercy, that perhaps you can be saved. Shnemar, hein yikatleni lo ichal. That perhaps they are coming to kill me. Nonetheless, I still have ichal, I still have hope. And therefore, I also have hope. So therefore, just because you give me this nebuah, perhaps I'll be able to live and not die. So.